Well, it's an absolute pleasure to be here this morning. I count it a real honor and a privilege. And I just think that it's just so wonderful that women can get together like this. What a freedom we have. And just the beautiful breakfast that everybody put on for us this morning, Janet and the women of this church, I think we should give you guys a round of applause. It's outstanding. Fabulous. And also just to everybody who came here today, I can't believe it that there's so many of you that have come here this morning. And I know that it's not because of me. You've come because you want the presence of God and you want an encounter with God. And so hopefully you don't just get my words this morning, but you get the words from your Heavenly Father coming through my lips this morning into your heart that will minister to your situation where you're at right now. And that's what I'm trusting for. So it's just wonderful to see you all. And I know there's a number of women that have traveled from the North Coast, the South Coast. I don't know where else from, but I mean, you guys have come in. Okay, did you get that? You know, I don't often preach. At my church, I do the announcements, so it looks like I'm not getting away from that. So there's two ladies from Cape Town. They need a lift to North Beach after this. So maybe speak to Janet. I think that would probably be the easiest thing. So, but thank you, Janet, for inviting me. And yeah, I did get some terrible news yesterday that my brother-in-law had passed away. We were expecting that, and so it always still comes as a shock, doesn't it, when somebody goes. But you know, the great news is that Rob and I led him to the Lord a year ago when we came here. He lived up in Johannesburg, and my sister's up there. And so we led him to the Lord, and we prayed for him as well, but it seemed like the thing that he was most concerned about was he wanted to be right with God. And so for us, that is, that's what it's all about, you know. I mean, we would have loved for him to have been healed, but we know that he's now part of that great company of witnesses, and he's up there, and he's probably looking down at me this morning preaching, and he's probably saying, go for it, Glenda. So I'm going to preach for him this morning as well. And for my sister and all of them, and so I will probably go up to the funeral next week. And I think God's so good. It came at a time when I was here so that I could be with the family as well. Amen. Well, this morning, what are we going to do? Let me read you the title of my message. You know, I looked at my notes, and I often wonder, I look at Rob's notes, and I don't know if any of you have seen his notes. He always says that his notes, he does them like that specifically so that the devil can't read them. Well, I don't even know how he reads them. And now I used to mock him and laugh about it. And now I have a look at my notes. And you know what it's like? You write your notes and then you pray and you walk around. And you know, you just let the thing mull over in you. And then like little things come. And then you try and find a spot to write it down. So I mean, I don't even think I'm going to be able to follow these. So what I want to just do this morning is I don't really do public speaking much, so I'm wanting this to be like a big morning breakfast, and I'm just like in my lounge room. I know it's not really like that, but let's pretend that I'm in my lounge room talking to you over a cup of coffee. The only difference is that I'm going to be doing all the talking, and you're going to be doing all the listening, unfortunately, but you can shout out every now and again. But don't ask me any questions, okay? Can send them to Ryan on the website. But, you know, Rob said on Friday night that, can some of the men come? And I'm like, no. You know, it's like, this is secret woman's business, you know. We've got to, there's some things that we've got to just have for ourselves, I think, and that. And so God wants to minister to us this morning. And so let's just open our hearts to what he's got to say. And I really just want to share from my heart. I'm not a theologian. I don't know all the scriptures that well. But what I do know is him. And he knows the scriptures. And I've had a revelation of his grace. And that is what I'm hoping to impart. Even if I can't give theology, hopefully I can impart the heart of grace this morning, the heart of God to all of you. And I just want to read in Galatians chapter 1, because Janet said, you know, us bringing this message. But you know, I know God uses people to bring a message at the right time but this is not Rob's message, this is not our message, this is his message. The message of grace is touching this whole world. There are men and women across the globe now who are preaching the grace of God. And the one who got this revelation as well was Apostle Paul in Galatians 1. And I just want to read that because he says, I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preach is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. So the grace of God is not something you can learn. It is something that you receive. Receiving the grace of God, it's a revelation. Man cannot teach you this. You have got to see it by revelation. And for many, many years, I didn't see it. I thought I saw it. I thought I knew about grace, but I didn't know about grace. I still lived under so many laws, laws that I'd made for myself. And then a moment came one day when I was reading the Word of God. I was going through the book of Romans and the book of Galatians, the book of Hebrews, and even in Corinthians. And you just can't get away from it. Suddenly I was reading these scriptures and it's like, you know, you can read something and then you read it again and suddenly it becomes alive to you. It just like pops out the page at you and you just think, how come I didn't see that before? That's revelation. When it suddenly pops up, that's the Rhema word of God. It's God's living word that He lightens to your spirit at that particular moment. And once you get that, I tell you what, nobody can take that away from you. Nobody can take it away. It doesn't matter what comes against you, who criticizes you, who opposes you. You look at the life of Paul. That man, what he didn't go through, because he believed in this gospel. He didn't just blindly believe in it, but he had a revelation and he had an encounter with the living God. And that is what changed his life. And so we want encounters with God. We don't want to just know about God. We want to feel Him. We want to taste Him. We want to see Him, you know? Don't you? I know you do. That's why you're all here. Amen. This thing at the back feels a bit funny. I feel like I'm going to fall over. But anyway, let me just see. What I wanted to do, I probably don't even have to do this because I really do feel so accepted here and there is a really relaxed spirit here. But I just want to just read a couple of things because what I want to say is that communication is such an important thing. And we need to make sure that we are communicating through our life and by how we live and what we say the grace of God. We need to be communicating that, not mixing law in with it and communicating a wrong message. And I believe that God was so, it was so important to God that He communicated this to us, that He sent Jesus Christ, who is the Spirit of grace. And if He didn't want us to know about grace, He would have left us in the Old Covenant and left us with the law. But He didn't. He sent His Son. And that scripture that was read this morning that says, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You know, the ministry of the law, it says that it is a ministry of death. And God sent Christ, who is a ministry of life, to us. Amen. So God was making sure that we got this thing, that He sent His very self to come and communicate the love, the acceptance of Him to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. That we are forgiven totally, that we are accepted in Him, and so we can live a life now that just is free in Him. That we can love Him. We don't love Him because we have to love Him. We love Him because He first loved us, like what Rob preached last night. But on communication, I wanted to just read you a few things here. It says here that this, I tore this out, you know, with all our flying and you get those magazines in the, you know, in the little thing in front of you. And it's called English. It's like a mixture of Chinese, English, it's Asian. Okay, excuse me, I'm from Hong Kong, but I found this very funny. When you live there, you may understand it more. But it says here, these are from actual medical reports. This was in a hospital. And medical registers of a hospital in a large Asian city. And these were patients who had gone to the doctor. And this is now the doctor's report that he was writing. And so they found this because they're trying to teach people English. Okay, and so these are just some of the funny things. And so the one thing that was written was this. Seja, the patient has left her white blood cells at another hospital. Then this one. Patient has chest pain if she lies on her left side for over a year. On the second day, the knee was better, and on the third day, it disappeared. It's talking about the pain, but can you see how communication is so important? The patient has been depressed since she began seeing me in 1993. Don't go back there. Then this one. She is numb from the toes down. I like this one, but it's a bit naughty. But anyway, she stated that she had been constipated for most of her life until she got a divorce. I promise you, I was reading this and I was laughing so much on the plane, you know? And I was like crying, I was laughing so much. I don't know if it's just my sense of humor, but I found it so funny. And two more. There's a whole lot here, but I can't, it's not my message. Skin, and then it's got there, somewhat pale, but present. We can't help it, eh? And then the last one. Patient, I like this one. Patient has two teenage children, but no other abnormalities. When she fainted, her eyes rolled around the room. It's good to have a good laugh. But as you can see, how communication is so important. So hopefully I can communicate this morning so that you don't walk out of here confused. You know, we live in such an information age that I think information is at our fingertips. Computers, books. I mean, you name it, you can get hold of any kind of information that you want. So this morning isn't really about me giving information because you don't need me for that. You can go and get that off a computer or find your own information. Hopefully there is something of an impartation this morning of the Spirit of God. That's what we all want. We didn't come here to encounter me. We came to encounter God. So let's encounter Him this morning. Can I just give you, for those that don't know me, just who doesn't know me here? Okay, well, that's wonderful. Gee. Well, I'll just give you a couple of my credentials, just so that you know that I'm genuine, I'm not a fake. But I've been a Christian for 33 years, got saved out of the Hare Krishna movement. That is a whole story in itself. Maybe one day I can give my testimony here, but I had to escape that movement. In the middle of the night, otherwise they wouldn't have let me go. And so I have experienced legalism to the highest degree living in that movement, especially if you're a woman. You know, if you were born a woman, you got a very bad reincarnation to come back as a woman in that movement. And so women were, it was almost like you didn't exist. It was a pity you were there, but, you know, all you have to do is have children and then you're okay. And so that was what I came out of. Fortunately, I wasn't in that too long. God had mercy on me and saved me before I could get too entrenched in that. And so I've gone through a journey of finding true God, you know, finding true grace. And when you find it, you just don't want to get, you just don't want to ever go back. Whoops. You don't ever want to go back to law. And so at the age of 31, we've been in the ministry for 31 years. I think I was early 20s when we went into the ministry. So honestly, I mean, I learned on the job. I didn't know very much at all. And so sorry to some of you out there. Some of you knew us back then. And but the good thing is that you love God and you're still here and you're serving Him. So we couldn't have done too bad a job. But we learned a lot. And, you know, we've been through so much. We've seen the moves of God. We've seen different phases, different things that the church has gone through. We've been through a lot of that. We've seen Christians that are sad. We've seen Christians that are tired. We've seen Christians that are disillusioned. We've seen the lot in our Christian life, in the 33 years that we've been a Christian. And what I'm wanting to do this morning is to show you that the grace of God is an administration. It shows us how we can administer our life in a graceful way to every person that we touch, and to our husbands, to our children, to our friends, to our family. That's what the grace of God does. It's not another new set of rules that we follow. The grace of God is something that changes us, and as that changes us, it changes our attitude and the way in which we relate and we interact with the people around us. And so I'm wanting to encourage you is to push into more of God. Don't allow your circumstances or your tough times or the difficult things that every single one of us face, don't allow those things to cause you to become resentful or to become bitter and disappointed, but continue to push on to God. Because, you know, I've seen those Christians that they go hot, they run hot for a while, and then, you know, persecution or difficulties, the hardships of life come along, and then suddenly they're not in church anymore, and then they at home, and then they're depressed, and then, you know, they just go downhill. But there's others, Christians, that I've seen that have stood year after year in hardship, in difficulty, through everything. They've stood and they've remained sweet. They've remained fresh in God. And I say, God, that's the kind of person that I want to be. I'm wanting to be that kind of person to my friends around me, to the world. But it's not like a new law that I want to be that. You become that as you have encounters with God and as you have intimacy with Him. Then all that He is rubs off onto us. And it's a wonderful place to live in, the grace of God. Because He ministers grace to us, and then we can minister that grace through our lives to those around us. And people need that. I think people are sick and tired of religion. They're sick and tired, amen, they're sick and tired of a performance Christianity. That, you know, I've got to keep these rules. When you are born again and the grace of God comes into your life, you don't feel like you're having to try and do all these things. It's just something that easily comes out of you. Amen. You do this because you've got a changed heart. You've encountered God. Amen. Am I talking to the right people here? Okay. Like Rob said last night, you know, happiness is, happiness is not where you live. You know, you can have the nicest house, you can live in the palace, you can have the best house, but you can be so unhappy. Happiness isn't what you have, happiness isn't where you live, but happiness is who lives inside of you. And when you've got Him inside of you and you realize that, the goodness of God, then you are a happy person. And that's what I want. I want happy women. And I believe there's happy women here. The grace of God sets women free to come into everything that they that God has called them to. Religion suppresses women. Religion puts people down. Religion likes to pigeonhole people. They like to build four walls around people and say, you are only acceptable if you conform to these rules and to these regulations and to these standards. That's what religion does. But God knocks down the walls, the things that separate us from Him and from one another. And He's cancelled, the Bible says, He has cancelled the written code that stood opposed to us in Colossians. And He nailed it to the cross. So we are free as women. We can enjoy the presence of God. We can enjoy our God. We can enjoy the ministry. We can enjoy the gifts that God's given us. We can minister our gifts to one another in a freedom. Amen. Great. Well, y'all, get excited about that. We are free, ladies. We are free. So So what makes a difference? What makes a difference between that person who, no matter what, pursues God, and the person who hasn't, you know, gets saved and when they love God as long as everything is going right for them? What is the difference? And I just want to speak a bit from my own life. And what I found the difference is that, first of all, I mean, I'm not keeping to my notes. I'm trying to, but I am sort of a little bit all over the place. Can you follow me? Is it making sense? Okay. Who was that encouraging me? Thanks, Jen. what's the difference? I believe the number one thing for me is having a revelation, first of all, of the total love that God has for me, the full acceptance that I have as a daughter of His. And when I have that revelation, it's like you don't put yourself under performance pressure, as I said. You are free then to just actually enjoy God. The other thing that makes a difference is constant and regular encounters with God. Not just on a corporate thing like this, but actually in our private life. And you know, just may I just say that I'm a kind of person, I probably fit very well into religion because I like rules and, you know, I like order and I like things, you know, you follow this, this and this. And, you know, I think I'm probably a bit of a perfectionist. And so I like there to be order and rules. And, you know, I hate it when people cheat. It, like, upsets me so much. We were playing a board game once in Australia. I don't know, it was some stupid game. There was like a strategy to it, and then they all ganged up against me because they could see I was winning and they could see what I was going to do, and they didn't want me to win, so they ganged up and they cheated. Well, I totally lost it. I grabbed the board, and I mean, this was Christmas Eve, supposed to be really nice family time, and I grabbed the board and I just flipped the whole board with, and everything just went flying everywhere, and I said, I don't like cheaters. I was winning, you know. And my poor daughter-in-law, she'd never seen her mother-in-law, like, you know, totally lose it. I mean, I was like shouting because I was so upset, you know. And then I realized I've got a problem, you know. that's the kind of person I am. I like lists. I like to get through things. I'm methodical. And so the law kind of appeals to me because then it keeps everybody in order and, you know, things just flow nicely. The only thing is not everybody else in my family likes that. And so I kind of became a bit of like a sergeant major, you know, a bit of like a feminazi. And barking out my orders, you know, and making sure that everybody did everything the way I liked it in the house. And it's a terrible place. You know, you create a home eventually that's like the military almost, you know. If anybody drops anything, you know, you like, you either shout at them or the thing gets whipped up and it's, you know, disposed of straight away. And I could never relax until everything was done and until everything looked the way I wanted it. And so I realized that I had a problem. And after much confrontation and a lot of arguing and all of that, and then I realized I need to get this thing dealt with in God, you know. And I'm like, God, you've got to help me here. And it really, the only thing that helped me was understanding that I am totally accepted in Him, that He loves me the way I am, first and foremost. And that actually relieved me, it actually allowed me to take the pressure off myself, that I didn't have to perform to get God's approval, or that I didn't have to have my life so neatly packed up and tidied up for me to actually enjoy life. And I don't know if there's anybody else there like this. I think often as women we can tend to be like that because, you know, we are the homemakers and a lot of that kind of stuff is left to us. And so sometimes we can just kind of step over that line and we start ordering and bossing people around, our husbands and our children. And we wonder, you know, where's the presence of God in this home? Where's the peace? And there's always this contention, and so I had to get alone with God. And the thing was, it wasn't just one encounter that like set me free or broke me free from this. It was constantly pursuing God on this and actually just enjoying God, not even coming to Him and saying, because I'd come to Him and then He'd say, actually, Glenda, I want you just to enjoy me. Don't come to me for me just to change you, because I actually love you the way you are. But as you get more and more of my presence into you, you're going to find that those things are not going to become issues anymore, and that those things are just going to drop off you. And I didn't really believe it. But then, so I thought, no, you know, there are things that I've got to do, you know. Surely God can't be pleased with me like this. And but the more I just stayed in His presence and found that secret place in Him, it is just amazing the approval that comes from our Heavenly Father that we can experience. And it's only that approval that sets us totally free to be who we are. Because otherwise what happens is that we put ourselves under law if we are like perfectionists. We have an unwritten and unstated law that we feel that we've got to keep. And so when you come under the law, there's no grace in that. Because the Bible says that the law is a ministry of death. There's no power to change people. If you just read the book of Romans, you will see that the law does not change a single person. It can't change you. Only God and the grace of God is what changes us. And so if you put yourself under those laws, there is no grace that is at work to be able to change you. And so you're just on a self-improvement program with no grace in it, and there's no peace of God in it. And I didn't want to live like that anymore, because I realized I was trying so hard, yet I wasn't changing. And it was only until I said, okay, God, I take those rules and I take those standards off myself, and I'm going to just enjoy you. And I mean, I tell you, the change in our home has been amazing. Even with our children, I'm not so harsh on them. You know, I'm probably jumping the gun here a bit, but we've got three children, and they're all married now. But our eldest son particularly went through a very difficult time. I mean, he was born when we were he came with us into the Hare Krishna movement, so he was under a lot of law. Then we became Christians, and we were involved in church where we were still, you know, a bit legalistic and that. And so I think he kind of got the brunt of a lot of that stuff. And so he went through a very difficult time in his life. He got involved in drugs, and he was on drugs for many, many, many years. And, you know, as a pastor, you can feel that you're disqualified. How can my kids be doing this, and yet I'm in the ministry? And so I would put pressure on him to change and say, you know, look, these, you know, how can you carry on like this? You know, what are people going to think of us? You know, it wasn't as though I was concerned about him, but I was also concerned about our image. You know, what do we look like to the people? You know, how can we preach a message and our kids are in a mess? And then, you know, God said to me the one day that there's no perfect parent. As much as you even endeavor to be as best a parent as you can, there is no perfect parent. The only perfect parent was God the Father Himself. And yet His own son, Adam, went off the rails and rebelled against Him. And so at the end of the day, it's not even so much, it is how you parent, but it's not so much that. It's more a question of authenticity and how much you love and how much you interact with your children, how much you accept your children, and that makes the biggest difference. And I've had to find that out the hard way. So if you're in the place today where you've still got small children, please don't put performance pressure on your children, but love them, minister grace to them, minister the acceptance of the Father. Be that to them. And even if you don't get everything right, they will turn out right, because your heart is right, and you're not putting yourself under some kind of performance pressure. And the other day, I was standing in my kitchen in Hong Kong, and over the last 6 weeks, our son's been staying with us in Hong Kong, and over the his marriage broke up, and I mean, it's a very sad story. His marriage broke up in Australia, and so he came to Hong Kong to get restored, and he stayed in our home for 9 months, and then he went back to Australia, and it was just still too difficult for him, and so he came back to Hong Kong, and he came into our church, and now our church is a grace. We preach the grace of God, but we don't only preach it, we try to live the grace of God. Not that judgmental attitude and spirit. And we said to him, and you know what it's like, you know when you it's like you want to put the law on your kids, you know, you want to say, listen, you know, stop this, stop that, and if you don't do this, you know, you wouldn't be in so much trouble, and you everything in you wants to say these things, you know. And I was like, you know, getting like freaked out. He, you know, having an adult living in your home, another adult living in your home, and were they not living how you would live, you know, it can put a real stress on in the home. And so you automatically, you want to like put like rules and regulations and boundaries on them, you know. And we did our very best not to do that. I mean, we did have to speak straight to him because grace isn't just a free-for-all. You can just do live sloppy lives and, you know, do whatever you want kind of thing. The Bible says that the grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness. But it's a teacher. It's not you're going to be perfect overnight, but it's teaching us. It's training us as we submit to the grace of God. We then come under the influence of God. Because there's grace there, and then that is what changes us. And so we endeavored our best not to put laws and rules on him, but to accept him and to love him. And for him to come into the environment of the church where there's acceptance, it's not non-judgmental. And he said to me, he said, you know, Mom, this is the first time I've actually felt loved and accepted in church. And I mean, it was like, you could have slapped me sideways because I thought all our churches were like that, you know, the ones that we had led. But they weren't, the bottom line. And so he felt so accepted that he actually then, it was like the grace of God could work in his life. And he started changing. And about 6 weeks ago, he had an amazing encounter with God. You know, he also thought he understood grace, but then he had an encounter with grace. He had an encounter with the living God, you know, and it like totally changed him. And he says things and it's like he's got different glasses on. He sees things totally differently. And that is just so wonderful. And anyway, it's a whole long story. I don't know why I'm going into this story, but, and he said to me just before I left to come here, he said, you know, Mom, this is the first time I can remember feeling happy since I was a child. Isn't that amazing? I mean, I felt like cut to the core. I felt cut to the core because I kind of like thought, well, I'm responsible for that, but I'm not responsible. He made choices as well in his growing up. He made choices, and so I can't take responsibility for those. But the very fact that I just looked at this man and I thought, you know, in all those years, not to be happy for 20 something years must be a horrific thing. And there are people who live like that. They live unhappy. They live with so much distortion and law and dysfunction on their lives. And it's only the grace of God that can change people. And I'm just so grateful to God that he's changed him, you know, and that he actually feels happy. And now after a message, he'll text us and encourage us. And I mean, honestly, that is the grace of God. You know, a person's changed when they don't only think about themselves all the time. Because he was selfish, you know, I'm not running him down, but people are very selfish. We just like to think about ourselves, you know, and how everything affects us. And he didn't used to think of anybody else. And now he like texts us, gee, Dad, that was a good preach. And he'll say, you know, about somebody else. He said, look how that person's behaving. He said, I used to be like that. But he couldn't see it before. If we ever said to him, oh, you know, stop carrying on like that. You sound like this, whatever. He'd say, oh, it's a lot of rubbish, you know. But now he can see it. And that is a work of grace. Isn't that amazing? I'm just I'm so grateful to God. You know, I've been through some really tough times when he was on drugs that Rob would be traveling. And next minute a knock at the door and the police are there. And I mean, I would just stand there and I would just cry, you know, because I'm like, what else do you do? You know, God, help my kids, save my kids, you know. But I mean, they went off the rails. But every one of them have had an encounter with God and they've come back to God. Bonnie never went off the rails, thank the Lord. But she had her difficulties as well. Just because you're a pastor's kid or just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're not going to have difficulties. How many of you would agree with that? No, of course we're going to have difficulties. The life of Paul, when you stand for something, there's always going to be people that oppose you. And when you're giving birth, everything that has been given birth, somebody has had to pay the pain and the cost of that. Nothing just comes easily. Every one of us, to give birth to something, like this grace message, comes with a price. The price isn't the price that Jesus paid, but it's the price of, am I going to stand up for the honor of God in this situation and push through and take it on the chin and be an example for Him? That's a price we've got to pay. When everybody speaks bad about us, when people revile us, when people oppose us, when people say things about you, and we've had a lot of horrible things said about us that are not true, how do you stay on track, sweet, faithful, forgiving to other people when you want to go on the rampage and you want to cut and get the sword out, you know, and defend yourself? No, it comes right back again to our security in Him and having time in that secret place, that intimacy with our Heavenly Father. And I often just go into my bedroom and I lock the doors so that nobody can disturb me. And I close the curtains, I'll switch on the lamp, and I put on the music. And I just, because I don't have a good voice, probably chase the Holy Spirit away, no. But I'm wanting to attract Him, so I put on somebody else, Bonnie's music or somebody's music. Just worship. And I just get before Him. I dance around that room. That's why I lock the door, because if anybody comes in there, they'd think a lunatic's been let loose. You know, somebody should be in the asylum. And honestly, that is my sanity. That is the only sanity that I have, is intimacy with Him. That actually changes my perspective. It changes my outlook. It changes my attitudes. I mean, you look at the life of Joseph, if you want to ever do a study, you look what that man went through. Yet he kept a good attitude through, I mean, the most rejected by his brothers. The things that Joseph went through, yet he served the purposes of God in his generation. And the very things that were meant to destroy him, actually God turned those things around and used them to actually bless other people. And for each one of us, the things that you've gone through in your life, the things that you maybe are going through right now, God wants to turn those things around and use the very thing that has caused you pain to actually bring you through and bring you out so that you can see the glory of God in that situation and be a person who can minister to somebody else through that difficulty. That's what God is wanting to do with the things that we face. And He just wants to keep our souls free. You know, our spirits are free. We've got a recreated spirit. But things come into our mind, the attacks of the enemy, the attacks of people, lies, just sometimes just the difficulties of life that come at us. If we don't keep our souls, our minds free, then we are going to allow that bitterness, that rejection, that offense to pile up. It's not that it affects our relationship with God, but it affects our relationship of how we live our life and how we interact with one another. And so we just need to keep short accounts. We need to just have those intimate times with God, because it's only then that He will just like take something off us, you know. It's like a ship, you know, a ship that's submerged in the water all the time and all those barnacles build up. And every now and again that ship's got to come into the dry dock and have those things scraped off. And I don't ever want to come to the place where I allow the barnacles, the difficulties of life to start sticking to me. Because once you do that, you know, at one point I did do that and I actually went into depression, because you get to a hopeless place. And I don't ever want to live like that. So whenever somebody says something or hurts me or whatever, I've got to go straight to God and let Him wash me. Wash me with His word. Keep me free. Amen. We want to be free as women. Because when we're free, then we can minister to others. But what I was going back to say, I've just looked at my notes here, you know, with our children and all of that, that they really are wanting us to listen to them. They're wanting us to be authentic. They don't want us to be one thing at home and another thing at church, you know. They want us to just be real as parents, real people, and know that they loved and know that they heard. And then I believe God, He just gives us wisdom as parents. When we can live like that, we get wisdom from Him. Amen. So, I don't even know where I am. Anyway, I've got a scripture here. Can I just see what it is? It's Hebrews 11. I'm not like Rob. You know, he's got like a photographic memory. It's just not fair. He said I'm going to speak lots about him today. No. He always says that. He says, you're going to talk about me today? So I said, yes. It's going to be a long message. There's so many good things to say about you. But he is. He's a good husband. I love him. Hebrews 11:27 says this. Where does it? Okay. Oh, this is one of my points, I think. That's good that I've got a scripture that backs up my point. How are we going with the time here, Janet? I'm getting carried away. Okay, Hebrews 11, verse 27 says here, by faith, talking about Moses, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. And that's what we're doing. When we are getting away into that secret place, we're having that time with God, we are actually seeing him who is invisible. We are encountering a God who is invisible, but he becomes visible to us through that encounter. We can feel him, we can taste him, we can see him, we can see his display around about us. And that is what kept Moses going. He had an encounter with God that, whatever came at him, he could persevere through that because he saw him who was invisible. And that is where our sanity is. That is where our motivation is that we see him who is invisible. And then the fourth thing, I don't know what it is, but it's one of the things, okay, is that makes a difference to keep us on track. Don't forget, my title is How to Stay Faithful to the Call of God While Not Getting Everything Right. We might not get everything right, but we can stay faithful to the call of God because He is faithful and He has got everything right on our behalf and He accepts us in the Beloved. So we might not get it all right, but as long as our heart is right towards Him. David didn't get everything right, but David had a heart after God, and that is what God is looking for. Hearts after Him. Amen. So the other thing that I've found is that to know that faith is always tested. Whatever you've had to fight for and stand for is always going to be, whatever you believe in, you're going to have to stand for and you're going to have to fight for, because the enemy, we live in where there's an enemy who's going to contest you and he's going to stand against that. Turn with me to James. We better read some scriptures. Okay, we did Hebrews and James, and I quoted 2 Corinthians. So we're doing good. James chapter 1. I think it's James 1, says this. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kind, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So, there is a testing of our faith that produces perseverance. We don't tiptoe through the tulips, but we... You know, life is not a bed of roses. There are difficulties, and every one of us face that. But it's if we persevere, because our faith has been tested, we persevere, we will come out mature, complete, lacking nothing. So, the enemy is going to test your faith. He's going to probe you to see, do you really believe this grace message? Do you really believe the Word of God? We do believe the Word of God. The example of the three Hebrew boys, their faith was contested. If you surrender you burn. Okay, that is it. You give in to the enemy, you're going to burn. But if you don't give in, you stand. Because of him, you stand. You might smell a bit of smoke on your clothes after you've come through an encounter. And I can tell you, I've smelled very smoky at times. I feel like I'm smoked. Not smoked by the Holy Spirit, but smoked sometimes by just going through the fire, you know. But I haven't been burnt, you know. God is faithful. And those three Hebrew boys, they knew, they stood for their God. And so they came through the fire. Okay, I'm totally, don't know where I am. But anyway, those are those things that make a difference to people who will stay on track. Not on track, but just stay pure and loving God, tender before him. That's what he's looking for, tender hearts. And somebody said to me the other day, we had a prophetic word, we had a leader's time away, and one of the prophetic words that came, because we've been in the fire, you know, and one of the prophetic words that came was, just let it be, there's a saying, you know, water off a duck's back. And they were saying, just let some of the persecution and the things that are coming against you just be like water off a duck's back. And so I thought, God, what does that really mean, you know? And I was thinking about it, and I was thinking, you know, like a duck's feathers, they don't get wet. Those things, it doesn't stick, doesn't penetrate because they're very oily. And that is what we need. We need to be saturated in the presence of God, in the Holy Spirit, in the oil of God, the oil of joy. Amen. That's what we need, to be saturated in that oil. And when we're saturated in the presence and the oil of God, of His Spirit, then it is like water off a duck's back. Things come at you and it can't stick. It can't stick. It's not because you are, you know, making such a determined effort. But if you get with Him, that oil flows and then things can't stick onto you. That's how I want to live. I don't always live like that. But that is my desire, and I know that the only place to live like that is in the secret place, is time with Him and have encounters with Him on a private, in a private and a personal capacity. Because then we'll realize too that we are never victims of our circumstances. We're never victims. If we allow things to stick with, then we become victims. And once you become a victim, you're finished. We've got to not have that victim mentality, but that God turns adversity into success. Our pain is for others' gain, is what I've written here, and our mess can become our ministry. Isn't that amazing? That the mess sometimes, the things that we've gone through, you might have gone through a divorce, you might have gone through some real difficulties, but God can turn that mess into ministry. And that's the heart of God for you. He's always wanting to lift you up and bring healing and bring health and restoration. He's a God. He's a restorer. And I'm trusting for God to do that. Just as you've heard what I've had to say this morning, that the Holy Spirit will just come and restore things that have been lost to you, things that you've maybe felt there's absolutely no hope. I'm in this situation. I cannot see a way out. God is saying there is a way out. The way out is through Him, through intimacy with Him. There is a way out, and it's the way up, looking unto Jesus. Set our eyes, fix our eyes on Him, and He will make a way where there seems to be no way. You know, when everything looks like against you, God can make a way. He is the worker of miracles. He is the one who is in this place right now. He is the one who loves you. He's the one who wants to minister to you. The presence of God is such a treasured thing. And I know that living in Hong Kong, living anywhere in the world, you cannot live without the presence of God. You merely survive if you try to do that. But God wants us to thrive. He wants us to come into all the inheritance that He has for us. Where inheritances have been lost, where visions and dreams have been lost, where your vision has become cloudy, God is wanting to bring His light into that situation and highlight it again for you and say you can do it through Him. That dream that He gave you, He's still on track with that dream. He's a fulfiller of those dreams. And that is what God is doing this morning. Even as you hear what I'm saying, the worship this morning, is God is beckoning us. Come unto me. Come unto me. I lay your heavy burdens on me. I will take them from you. My burden is light. You don't have to carry them. And I don't think I want to talk much more here, but I just think the biggest thing, just one other thing before I pray, the biggest thing as women is that we live under idealism so often. As I said earlier, we have this perfection thing, this ideal that we try to live up to. And God's wanting to actually take that away. He's wanting to break that because we judge ourselves so harshly, I think. Sometimes as women, we can be hard on ourselves, you know. I know this might sound silly to you, but I mean, I sometimes think that, you know, I don't look so good. I'm eat too much and, you know, I'm fat or whatever, you know. But we like so harsh on ourselves. And then I go back to Hong Kong after a trip and, you know, the Chinese are very, very honest. They will tell you to your face, you know, and they'll say, why are you so fat? They'll just ask you, why are you so fat? And this one girl, I came back, you know, been traveling, come back, and she said to me, I made some comment. And so she said, yes, she says, I look at you every time you come back from a trip, and she says, I can see that you've put on weight. So you've had a good trip, you know? And I'm like, they're watching me, you know? They are looking. They're watching me so closely. And then I thought, well, so what, you know? I can't be governed by that, you know. And this is the thing. We put laws on ourselves or rules on ourselves, idealisms on ourselves, or we allow others to put them on us. And we can't live like that any longer as women. And I'm sure most of you don't live like that. But I know that I do come in and out of that sometimes. Because when you put that on yourself, you put yourself under law and then you can't break out of it, you know. So, God wants us to ease up on ourselves. Okay, grace lifts the performance off us and brings us into peace and acceptance of ourselves and of others. And the Bible says in Hebrews 13 verse 9 that grace strengthens us. And so it's the grace of God that strengthens us and causes us to stand and causes us to overcome in life. Now, I'm wondering if you could maybe just close your eyes. I don't know what happened to my other notes. Did they all fly off? Oh, no, they're under here. I just want to give people an opportunity. We've still got a little bit of time. And I'm just wanting to give you an opportunity to respond to the Holy Spirit this morning, respond to the presence of God. I don't know if the musicians, somebody on the keyboard, if you're still here, if you wouldn't mind maybe just come in and just playing quietly in the background there, but if we can just close our eyes, and I want us just to let the presence of God come and touch us right now. And I just want to say a few things here, that there is a realm in God that sustains us. It's a realm of the supernatural. It's the presence of God. Our sustenance can come from no other place. It comes from His realm. And it's a supernatural realm. We all know about it, but very few often tap into that realm. We can become so hung up with doing everything right, getting all our theology right, which is good. But if we concentrate only on that and we don't encounter God, come into His supernatural realm, or allow Him to break in to our realm, then we merely are intellectual. God is wanting to encounter us this morning. And this is a realm that Jesus lived in daily. He lived out of this realm while He was on the earth. He said He doesn't do anything except what He sees His Father do. So He was connected to that realm, His Heavenly Father's realm, and He ministered out of that realm. He ministered, everything He did came from that realm. And that is what God is wanting to do this morning. It's a realm that is available to each and every one of us. The greatest hindrance to stepping into it is our perception often of the goodness of God, the total acceptance of us as daughters of God. and to understand that we are righteous in Him. There is no condemnation. God is not angry with you. He never will be. In fact, He can't wait to be with us. He is like the father in the prodigal son. The father came running to his son, who had his rehearsed speech to make all his apologies. But the father came running. The father threw the coat onto his son. The father put the ring on his finger. The father prepared a feast for him. So from that picture alone, we've got to understand that God is a father who is running towards us with arms wide open. He's an accepting father. God is not holding out on us. He's not holding good things back from us. But He is wanting to give us all things. And so God wants us just to encounter that realm here this morning. I wonder if we can just stand and maybe if we can just sing a song. Thank you. Let's just step into that realm. We worship you, God. We exalt your name. Beautiful one.
How lovely is your dwelling place. O Lord Almighty, my soul longs and even faints for you. For here
Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you for your oil right now that flows to each person. The anointing of your Spirit, Father. That healing balm, Lord, that massages, that restores, that heals, Father. I just speak your healing right now. Whether it be emotional healing, physical healing, sickness, Father God, I speak healing upon each person here now in the name of Jesus. I speak freedom. I speak liberty. I speak the spirit of grace upon each and every person here right now. I break the spirit of performance. I break the spirit of perfectionism right now. And I release the Holy Spirit. The spirit of perfection. You are the spirit of perfection, Father. We don't come under any other spirit. We want to be influenced by the Holy Spirit. Father, I just thank you that faith is what connects us to your realm right now, Father. Faith is the currency of heaven, and we step in and we take a hold of what you have for us by faith this morning, Lord. We bring from the unseen realm into this physical realm your healing, Father, your anointing, Lord, your restoration right now upon each and every woman in this place under the sound of my voice. A freedom, Father, a liberty. Let the joy of the Spirit come upon each and every one right now. Just a freedom, Lord. Liberate, liberate, liberate. Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Come do your work. Just respond. Just draw on Him. Just draw on Him. He's right there. He's right here. You know, you don't even have to come up to the front. The Holy Spirit can come right into your very seat there where you are. He knows everything about you. You know, sometimes you might even ask, God, why do I have to go through this? Why does it take so long for you to answer? God is saying He's there. He's with you. Your answer is coming quickly. Thank you, Father.
I had a vision of a shipwreck. And I heard voices saying this. I feel like a wreck. I feel like I've been wrecked. But I saw the treasures that are on this boat, or were on this boat, have been washed up on the shore, undamaged. I saw beautiful treasures and chests, valuable fabrics, perfumes, just value, just incredible value, locked up in these boxes and just washed up on the beach. And I felt the Holy Spirit saying, I have protected the treasure, the good deposit within you. And you might feel like a wreck, and you might have said that of yourself. But I want to say to you that I have protected the good deposit within each one of you. And I'm going to bring healing and restoration. And I'm going to bring liberty to your mind, to your body, and to your emotions. And I'm going to set you sailing again on the wind of my spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
There's a ship waiting for this cargo to take its place. And I'm going to house the ship with all the treasures that are within. They're not going to stay locked up in vaults in the bottom of the ship. I'm bringing them out, and I'm going to furnish this ship with my goodness,
yes,
with that good deposit that I've placed within you. And I just saw God just breaking, 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 breaking deception, deception of self, deception of what the treasure is, why it's locked away. You know that God doesn't lock those things away. What's the point of buying furniture to furnish your home when you lock it away in the garage and sit on boxes? God wants to bring out the treasure within
yes.
you. He wants it to be displayed for the world to see. There's lounge chairs, and there's beautiful furnishings and frames that God wants to display. He wants to boast. He wants to boast with your life.
Yeah.
He loves you. He's so in love with you. He wants to boast. You're so beautiful. You're so gorgeous. What has kept you hidden for so long? And I saw older women, 60s and over, and God is saying, stop. Stop looking at yourself as you on the way out. You're not.
Yeah.
You're beautiful in my eyes. Mm. And there are more treasures to be revealed yet.
That's right.
I have placed a good deposit in you. Mm. And I want the world to see. Stop hiding behind the younger generation. Because I want the world to see you. I have put life in your eyes. And I want the world to see the life. Yeah. The Jesus life. The radiating of my glory out of you. I want the world to see.
Yes.
Come out and be. Start living again. You're not on your way out.
Yeah.
You've just begun.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Father. Thank you, Lord. We respond to that, Father. Your extravagance over us, Father. You wanting to display your splendor through us, Father. Display yourself through us, Father.
While we were praising, I just saw it was like a huge big conveyor belt of women, all like crashed test dummies, all pale, dressed in black, all marching like puppets on a string to somebody's string with the mark of the world on them. Everyone had a barcode saying world, and everyone looked the same, and everyone was grey and miserable, all dancing to somebody else's tune. And all going through like a factory, all the same, all dancing, just jumping up and down. And I saw in this factory was like the glory of God, a curtain of His grace. And as people went through that curtain of glory, God was there to welcome each one individually and differently. And He had to shake off and mold and take off different things, for everybody was different until they were revealed. Till God's precious jewel, His creation, was revealed. All the barcodes of man-made were removed, and a stamp of God-made. I just saw God
kissing people,
hugging them, stooping down to people who were down, lifting people up, holding people to Himself, but shaking off and peeling off and even chopping off layers and layers of things that the world had put on people.
Yeah.
And there was just such a relief and such a joy and such a... I heard that we need to relax and put ourselves on God, and that is faith.
Mm.
And there was just such a leaning back of people into God's bosom, coming home. And that's what God has been doing today.
Yes, thank you, Father. Thank you for that word.
Behold, you are fair, my love. Behold, you are fair. You have dove's eyes behind your veil. Your hair is like a flock of goats going down from Mount Gilead. Your teeth are like a flock of shorn sheep, which have come up from the washing, every one of which bears twins, and none is barren among them. Your lips are like a strand of scarlet, and your mouth is lovely. Your temples behind your veil are like a piece of pomegranate. Your neck is like the Tower of David, built for an armory on which hang a thousand bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Until the day breaks and the shadows flee away, I will go my way to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. For you are all fair, my love, and there is no spot in you. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse. And I just felt that this morning that Jesus, He just wants every woman to know how much He loves every single part about you. From the top of your head to the bottom of your toes, you are perfectly created for His pleasure.
Mm.
There is no blemish or spot that He sees in you.
He loves you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
A strong, vivid picture of us having a red carpet ahead of us, and that's how we need to see ourselves. And usually a red carpet is placed before royalty or for celebrities or for something like that, and that is what we are. Christ resides inside of us, royalty Himself. And that carpet is not just any carpet. That carpet that God has placed before us is a carpet drenched in Christ's blood. That is the altar that God wants us to come on.
That's right.
It's all about Christ, and that is who we are. God's opinion of us is Jesus, and that's why we are so satisfying to Him, because we believe in Jesus. Mm. So be confident. It's not about you. Step aside. Step onto that carpet, knowing who you are. He's looking at you with complete satisfaction, approval, love, adoration. You are perfect in His sight.
Thank you, Father. That's
whom
wonderful.
The Son sets free is free indeed.
So there's just one thing I just want to do quickly before I hand over to Janet. I know they've got another function in here, unfortunately, for them. But so we're not going to, there's not going to be much time for individual ministry. But I trust that God has ministered to you where you're at, and you can draw on Him for that. And you know, if there is something that you need specifically, I'm sure that you can ask some ladies around you just to pray for you. But there was a particular thing that I did want to pray for. I felt when different words were coming up that there's somebody here, a woman here, you've struggled to have children and you're wanting to have children. And I just want you to just lay your hands, if that is a word for you this morning, just lay your hands over your ovaries right now, and I want to pray for you. Father, I just thank you for fruitfulness right now. I speak to those ovaries in the name of Jesus, and I command them to function as you ordained them to function. I speak life into that womb. I speak your fruitfulness. I speak the Spirit of God to quicken that womb right now in the name of Jesus, and prepare it and get it ready, Father God, for fruitfulness in Jesus' name. I speak life. I speak life. I speak life in Jesus' name. Amen.
You'll meet the baby next year. But really, who the Son sets free is free indeed. And that's what the message of grace is, because Jesus is grace. And if you find yourself caught into this trap of legalism, and I'm not good enough in the eyes of God, and I don't qualify, it's a demonic aversion to the freedom that Jesus bought for you at the cross. And you need to revisit the cross, and you need to come back to that place of freedom when you are a brand new Christian baby. Because to enjoy your Christianity, to enjoy your walk, is your inheritance in God.
That's right.
And if you're finding it burdensome, if you're finding it hard, you haven't yet walked in the inheritance that God has for you. And what this whole message is, one of freedom. God is not angry with you. He's happy with you.
Amen.
And He loves you every moment that you breathe and that you're alive. Mm-hmm. But you need to walk in that incredible inheritance that God has for you and enjoy what the price He paid. You know, I have never, ever been more grateful to Jesus in my entire life than right now. And I've known Him for many, many years, since I was 21 and I'm nearly 50. And I have never been more grateful to the price that Jesus paid so that I can have a friendship with my Father. Never been more grateful. And if you haven't walked in that revelation of that gratefulness that you have towards Jesus because of that incredible friendship, I'm not just talking about like being born again. I'm talking about a revelation. Pursue it with your heart. Pursue it with your heart. It's something that will revolutionize your Christian walk.
Yeah.
So thank you, Glenda, for the incredible
thank you.
Word.
Thank you, Janet.
Thank you,
thank you
such
to all of you.
Us.
Thank you. Bless you. Well,
we're going to pray God blesses them more and more, uses them more and more. See, even at Glenda and Rob's age, their ministry is beginning. Okay? So, and they thought they were good Christians years ago.
Yeah,
bless you.
No,
thank
true.
You, Glenda.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Just a couple of announcements. The sandwiches on the tables, unfortunately, are not for us. So if you've traveled from far, there's a Mug and Bean just over here. There's McDonald's. There are places you can go to. Rob will be with us tomorrow morning and tomorrow evening. I don't want to hijack your own church meetings.
Sorry.
But with your pastor's approval and whatever, you can come and join us tomorrow morning. A lot of churches don't have evening meetings. Welcome to join us. And thank you for being with us. Because you know what? If Glenda stood up here and there was only one lady here, it would feel like a bit strange. So thank you for the many ladies who came out of your way to be with us this morning, for the many ladies that served and gave up of their time. God bless you all, and just bless you completely for what you've given. In Jesus' name, amen.